Dear God, we thank you in the wondrous name of Jesus again for your presence here today. Lord, we just commit it all to you. We know that you're here to bless it. We know that we have been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Lord, help us to be open today to receive it. Lord, may we glorify your name. And in the name of Jesus, we commit all that's said and done. Amen. Amen. Well, have you ever bought something that you felt you just had to have? See, we're getting up on that time of the year, aren't we now? But you ever bought something that you felt that you just had to have it, and you couldn't live without it, but once you got it, you knew it wasn't right. You just knew it wasn't right. You wish you never had it, and then you started just trying to figure out, how am I going to get rid of it? And they call that buyer's remorse. And the Lord, so sweetly as Christians, He put upon my heart, we have a similar occurrence, and it's called believer's remorse. And we all know about this believer's remorse. It comes to us in different ways. But today I specifically want to talk about believer's remorse that comes from direct disobedience to God. I'm talking direct disobedience. And when the Word so clearly will tell us about something, when the Word of God so clearly tells us about an answer to a decision that needs to be made, and yet in outright defiance to God, we turn away from the will of the Lord and we continue right on down the broad way. And it's a broad way, it's a wide way of destruction. And I really want you to understand, I'm talking about today God's very chosen people. I'm talking about those that have a calling upon their lives. I'm talking about brothers and sisters that have the privilege that God has opened up the very full counsel of God to their lives. Talking about the ones to whom much has been given, much is required. Brothers and sisters, I'm talking about all of us here today. I believe the Lord is speaking so magnificently to us in this time. And in that, I'd like you to turn with me to Judges chapter 13. I can tell you're all concerned. Let's magnify the grace of God. Praise God. But in Judges chapter 13, this is about Brother Samson. What a wonderful story, and what a wonderful, sweet brother. But I believe that, again, he's an example of so many different things. But today, he's such a living and vivid example of outright defiance. And I want us to think about this sweet brother. In verse 5, it says there that Samson was chosen of God. He was chosen of God. While he was in the womb of his mother, the Lord speaks to his mom and he says, "Your son shall be a Nazarite." A Nazarite, important word, important name. It means separated unto God. It means an anointed vessel. And to be anointed, brothers and sisters, that means to be separated to God. And that was the call that was on this brother Samson. This wasn't just speaking about justification. It wasn't talking about being saved. Precious. But many of Samson's people knew the Lord. They worshiped the Lord. But this was something different. This was something special. This was a calling that was upon this brother's heart and upon this brother's life. A higher calling, if you will, because God saw a heart. Do you believe that God sees your heart? Amen. I hope you do. I hope you know that. But God saw a heart. God had a purpose. And God purposed this in this brother's heart. And as we read this story, it's so sweet because the Spirit of the Lord, as we know, would come upon this brother so mightily. Can you imagine to be there to experience that? To see the Spirit of the Lord coming upon this brother in the things that God would call him to do. The demonstration of Spirit and power was seen by all. And brothers and sisters, as I was reading this, I want you to understand, this is you. By the grace of God, this is me. I hope we understand that we don't have to get out there and go slay 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass to have demonstration and power of the Holy Ghost upon our life. And I'm going to tell you something. The Lord so encouraged my heart in this to tell you that the standing and the withstanding that's going on right now, honestly, the standing and the withstanding, the receiving of the very full counsel of God, talking about the depths of His riches, of His truth, that's going on in this meeting with this people right now, is the greatest of demonstration and power of the Spirit. I hope you realize that. I hope you realize to have the faith today that God is encouraging us to have. And again, not just to believe Him for that abundant grace of salvation, but hallelujah, the infinite grace to absolutely, completely grow up into Him in all things. That there's a calling today for a people for His name's sake. I tell you, it just continues to strum across my heart. Thinking about again, even how this world is continuing to defy. And I will say this. And if it steps on your toes a bit, let the Lord step on your toes a bit. But I think of today, more and more women taking the hand of marriage from their husband. They're not taking His name anymore. I was looking at these ones that have become the, I don't know what they really call them. Maybe it's the president and his family of Australia. They had different names. I don't understand that. When I asked my wife to marry me, I wanted her to become my namesake. Jesus is out there wooing a people for His namesake. She's the one that has taken His name and taken it by the grace of God and so sweetly and honorably displays that name. You've heard me say it before, like the ladies sometimes, they have their rings and you kind of see them walking around and showing their ring. Are you walking around and by the grace of God showing your Jesus? And how much He loves you. And how He's called you. So my sweet brother was singing. Called you, chosen you at this time to be His namesake. A wife prepared. A wife that is ready. I love that. Speaks to me so clearly when He tells me, not a bride to be. Oh no. Son, I want you to operate, to have the confidence in my grace that I can instill the faith in you. To operate as my wife to be. There's a difference, brothers and sisters. There truly is. And He's calling us into this relationship with Him. And that's why I come back and say, this is the evidence of the greatest power of His might. Greater than old Samson running around with that so many ton gate. Or killing all those Philistines. Or taking a lion or a bear and tearing them apart. Praise be to God. He's chosen you to royalty. To the very bride at His side, praise God, in the very midst of His throne. Hallelujah, what God is doing. Hallelujah, what God is doing. And you see, just like Samson here, when we stand in this, when we rest in this, when we believe in this, can you imagine we bless the Lord? Don't you love to bless the Lord? You bless the Lord by believing His Son. Praise God, you believe in Him and it blesses Him. We're thankful for what He's doing, and it blesses Him. Any type of a relationship, but especially that of a husband and wife, if it's really right, you don't need Him to do things for you. Just to appreciate, just to be thankful, just to be there to love you. I hope we're not looking for the next thing to be done, but in a sense, I hope it just comes forth anyways, because of the love that flows forth out of a relationship that's right. But in believing, we bless the Lord and we bless those around us. Yet in this story, we understand, even though there was this tremendous blessing and calling upon this brother's life, we understand that he does not stay with the blessing, does he? Mm-mm. Doesn't stay with it. It's there. It's very apparent. God has given him a great gift. But you know what happens? Kind of grows ho-hum. A little bit stagnant, a little bit stale. And he begins to openly defy God's will for his life. The separation that God had called him to continues to be breached over and over and over by the pursuit of being unequally yoked with the world. Did you hear that? What are we pursuing today, brothers and sisters? What defines us? We've talked about this before. Are we looking to be defined by the things of this world? Are we looking at, again, that the defining of my character and how, in a sense, at peace or substantial that I'm going to be is defined in the world by my acceptance in the world, whether it's by my peers, by my job, by what my neighbors think of me? Or am I convinced of the love and the Word of God that I'm defined and I already am defined? I'm a Christian. Are you thankful to be a Christian today? Oh, I hope you are. Are you content to be a Christian today? Are you so thankful and resting in God's love for you as a Christian today that you know that He's got a purpose, He's got a plan, He's got a path for you? I think about being a dad, and I think about my dad for us kids. How, yes, there was a vision that he saw for each and every one of us. Yes, it had to do with obeying mom and dad. Great start. But then also of education and college and work and dedication and being determined and to going after it. Well, let me tell you something. You've got a father that is so beyond all of that, that's got a purpose, he's got a plan. And you know the beautiful thing about him? His love will be your motivation. His love will be your determination. His love will see you through every single thing in your life. His love will give you the strength to say, Lord, I can go on. His love and His plan for you will allow you to see that, yes, Jesus, these things that are going on in my life right now that seem so hard, the pressing is so tight. Lord, I really am starting to despair of my life. But yet, Lord, I know Your care for me. And I know it's perfect. And I know that this purpose is nothing short of the high calling of God that is in Christ Jesus. Now that's why we can come together today and we say, thank You, Lord. I appreciate what You're doing in my life. I may not have had much on the table this Thanksgiving. I may have had family that didn't want to come to my house this Thanksgiving. I may not have had a lot of things this Thanksgiving. But you know what? I have You. I have Your fellowship, Lord, and You have come to dine and to sup with me. And in that I say, yea and amen, it's right, and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, what He can bring us to. Thank You, Jesus. But this brother, I'm going to tell you, he did begin to openly defy God's will for his life. And just as we read in the Word of God, and it's so exciting, that glory begats glory. And you know that. As you go on with the Lord, He brings that glory into your life. It's awesome. But on the flip side of that, brothers and sisters, sin begats sin. And it does. Sin will promote more sin. And I'm going to say this, as we continue to seek the worldly pleasures or the worldly calling over God's calling, it will continue to mount in our life. When we continue in a life of compromise, we're cutting a little deeper now. Stay with me. When we continue in a life of compromise, you think, well, what does that mean? What am I compromising? Well, you know what? Let the Word of God search your heart. As David said, Lord, search me. Search me. If there be any wicked way in me, search me. I may not even know or be, in a sense, maybe facing up to it. Maybe I'm so convinced or I'm so duped by this old world and what I'm doing and the way that I'm going. And it can be not just what the world would say, well, that's not a bad thing. You're not a bad guy. But let me tell you something. You might be caught up into Christian feel good today. Huh? Are you about the Word? Are you about the Word working effectually in you? Not by feeling, it's by faith. It's by faith, and it's a wonderful walk. But I'm going to tell you something. It's a walk that's unknown to man because it's by faith. And it's beautiful. Talk about surprises. And I know some of you are thinking, oh, those surprises of faith. I could live without a few of them. No. God's got a plan. That's what He's exercising in your life is what faith is. It's when the unknowing comes. It's when the unexpected shows up. It's when, well, Lord, I thought it was going to be this way. I was seeking You. I was seeking Your best. And I didn't get this. Oh, I'm going to tell you. That's the time when the riches of riches are being dealt out in our life. It is. Oh, the disappointments. Shortcomings. Maybe being overlooked in life. I'm convinced it often happens to Christians. Yes, it does. Oh, yes, it does. Because the Lord is calling you today and He says, lovest thou Me more than these? Do you really believe Him at His word when He said, you're the apple of My eye? Do you believe Him at His word when He says, I'll perfect that which concerns you? Do you believe Him at His word when He says, the last shall be first? Do you love Him enough for that? Oh, I hope you do. Let me tell you something. He's going to take those foolish things. He's going to take the lowly things. And He confounds the wise with those, doesn't He? Yeah. See, He's looking for a Mephibosheth to eat at His table. I hope we're willing to be made low with Him. It's important, brothers and sisters. And it does. My heart is aching today for your life as well as mine. That we not seek to be known. That we not seek to be esteemed. That we not seek to be heard and acknowledged. But I seek to be chosen of Him. That He's pleased in that. That is whose choice and consideration, that it's His desire that matters. But when we continue in a life of compromise, and continue on with it, it'll always completely end up in a surrender to the enemy. I'm talking about us today. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about brothers and sisters who have been chosen and called to the secret places that the Lord has. You know those secret places? I believe many of us are there this morning in this secret place with Him. Where God is supping and dining with you. Where He has called you to His side. Where He has taken the hand of His Son and He's laid it in yours. And He says, I want you to wed My Son. This is a father that is looking for the true worshiper that's worshiping in spirit and in truth. That He wants to bring into this union, this bonding, praise God, of the highest of high. Of the most intimate, like I said earlier, Lord, it's just a dinner for two. And I'm finding it so beautiful with You. I'm finding that You're the greatest lover there's ever been. That You swoon and just so give Your joy and blessing and just Your wondrous words of encouragement to my life. Do you sense the caress of His hand on your cheek? Even the kiss of His lip. It's here for us, brothers and sisters. It really is. And He's in that secret place has proposed to each and every one of us. I really believe so many of us have entered into this today. But I'm going to tell you something. when we breach that place. Yes, I'm telling you, when we breach that place, this is a jealous God. A very jealous God. He is a jealous lover. And when you think that He has given us His entire heart, when you think that He has given us everything, yet when we breach this intimacy with God that He so desperately wants for our life, I want you to read chapter 16 of Judges and verse 20. Now this is Delilah after she tempts and fools this brother. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep. He'd been sleeping, hadn't he? Oh, we got to wake up. We got to wake up. And he said, "Oh, I'll go out as at other times before. See, I'm just going to count on this. Neglect so great salvation. And shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. The Lord had departed from him. Now I want you to understand this very, very clearly. This brother absolutely was still saved. This brother absolutely was never separated from the love of God. Absolutely not. But what this is such a wondrous and encouraging and awakening example of is that the fellowship, brothers and sisters, the anointing that God wants and has put upon your life, it can be gone. It can be taken away. If we neglect so great salvation, even the anointing that was on brother Saul, it was taken away. He didn't embrace it. He's a jealous God. I've told you many times before, the Lord has given me such sweet thoughts of different things. I love the thought of being romantic. I love the thought of when, at the time that I was engaged with my wife, I was so thankful of that ring that she would wear. I was actually so in love, I even wrote her a song that I sang to her when I proposed to her. Yeah. Crazy. Crazy in love. Crazy in love. But what would I have thought after I gave her that ring? That she didn't have it on anymore. Now I do know a couple sisters that have accidentally lost it, so I'm sorry to bring back that memory. But you cherish that ring, don't you? Hallelujah. And I loved to see her wear that ring. I knew that she was mine. And I am hers. Yeah. But if she wouldn't wear that ring, if she didn't talk about that day that we were to be married, that was about the only thing we could talk about. I remember we sat out at the Bronco game one afternoon, and she had all of her catalogs just out there, and people were laughing at us. She wasn't watching the game at all. And I was smart enough, I wasn't watching the game at all either. And she kept going through that, and I said, "Oh, yes, honey, that's wonderful." It didn't matter to me. Whatever she desired me. And you know what? Whatever you desire, honey, it's all yours. But if she wasn't looking for that day, if that wasn't the thing that was on her heart, that what her affection was set upon, I think I should begin to wonder. I think I should begin to think, is this really the lady that truly wants me? That is after me? That wants to live her life with me? Wants to have a family? Well, thank God that was the lady that did want me. And I believe our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has given us these wonderful examples that are so clearly that image. He's after you. He's calling you. He's supped and dined. And I know, brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, He has given us that wonderful message that He's taken that ring. He really has. That crown that we're to hold fast, that no man take thy crown. Isn't that wonderful? But this is that crown. It's the ring, and He's put it upon our finger. And praise be to God to cherish that ring, to look upon that ring and say, Lord, I'm looking for that day. I'm looking for that day of Your glorious appearing. That's what has my heart. That's what has my thoughts. That's what I want more than anything. The one who came to court, the one whom He gave His full attention and desire to. But yet she was just like Vashti. The queen, that throne offering is gone. The proposal left, didn't it? She was there. She just took it for granted. Oh, I'll show up at a later time, king. I'll come out when I'm ready. Oh, no, you won't. You better come out now. You better be ready now. You don't know how much time you have. But I'll tell you what, the time that you have right now, it's the most precious time you've ever been given. Because God is dealing with you. God wants you. God wants you for His Son. And praise God, the throne offering is here. But if we dilly-dally around like Vashti did, it's going to be gone. It's going to be something that the proposal has left. Brothers and sisters, we need to realize the urgency of this time in our lives. That, as the Word of God says, there is a season for everything. Did you know that? Yes, there's a season for everything. But we think, oh, well, this is just the season to ignore God. And to go out, and I'll get back to God at a different time that's more convenient in my life. Let me tell you something, this believer's remorse, I think the Lord's expanding this as I sit here and He speaks. You don't know how much more time you have. You don't. I expect Him today. How about you? And by faith I rest and say, Lord, You're readying me today. The requirement is that I love Your appearing. The requirement is that I'm looking to that day. As my dear wife was looking to that day, I knew she was ready. Hallelujah. You know, I'm watching God deal so mercifully with us. It excites me. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for what God's doing in your life. It's the sweetest thing. Hard to watch at times. It really is. Because I know there's a great pressing going on. But I'm thankful that I know the love of God. And I'm thankful that I know that God loves us so that He's got to bring the exact, as we said earlier, the exact need, the exact trial, your exact personality, the characteristics of you, whether you're a worrier or quick to anger. Little bit slothful, all of these different things. God has a perfect package sitting right there. I know you're laughing to yourself, but you know what? You need to believe God. Need to trust Him. That it's exact. And you're different from the one that's sitting right next to you too. Did you know that? Absolutely. That I can't look to that person for my faith or that person for my strength. I'm just looking to Him. And saying that grace is there. And praise God when we're in it. And thank the Lord that we're receiving that grace so mightily. And maybe the one that's so closest to us isn't. You better go get some more grace, because you know what? Your faith is being challenged right now. Oh, His grace is sufficient. His grace is there. His grace is going to get it done. Praise the Lord. But I'm so thankful how so many that I look upon right now are receiving this. That they're receiving again and responding to the joy that God is bringing this message out. That we're beginning to apprehend that by which we are apprehended. But at the same time, brothers and sisters, I have to tell you, I also see the time slipping away from some. Yeah. Wasted time. Wasted time. Defiant time. And I'm going to tell you very clearly, in the Word of God it says that God will not be mocked. He's not going to be mocked. He's not going to be tempted with evil. That is not going to be a Christian that's going to win the hand of His Son. It's not going to happen. It's not. He wants us to awaken and come out of this. That brother was in that sleep. And he's crying and he's calling and he's saying, wake up. Come on now. Wake up. You don't want to wake up into that time where it's taken away. You want to wake up now to redeem the time, this time of great grace that's upon us right now, that we can win His very best. Open defiance, brothers and sisters, it robs us. Open defiance will rob you. Continuing in open defiance, it will kill you and it will destroy you. And it will. These are very sobering times. These are sobering words. I have read it by the grace of God in this Word over and over, and I have seen it. And I've seen it in this meeting. And you have too. Time that's being wasted. Where he's crying, redeem the time. It cost Brother Lot his family, didn't it? Oh yes, it did. It cost him his family. It cost King Saul his throne. Yeah. And it did not have to be that way. Are you hearing that? It didn't have to be that way. That was not God's purpose for those lives. He wanted them. They chose to go that other way. He wanted that for their lives. And I'm going to tell you, we know the calling that's here. And you know why? Because you're sheep. Isn't that wonderful? And His sheep know His voice. And His sheep hear His voice. And I know by the grace of God you are hearing His voice today. And you're hearing a calling that is upon you today. Oh yes, amen. But now the question is, brothers and sisters, are we going to respond to that calling? Are you going to listen to that voice? Can you hear Him? Rise up. Rise up. Can you hear that? Rise up. Can you hear Him really? Can you hear Him say, rise up? Don't slumber. Oh no. It's a mighty time. I don't know if we have yet today. I hope we don't. But you know what? It's just like His great love. That He may give you more time. But He's saying, rise up. He's saying, rise up. My love, my fair one. Oh, the fair one. Brother Bob sang about her. My love, my fair one. And come away. Are you willing to come away with Him today? What He has in store for us? No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men what God has prepared for them that love Him. And it's an agape love, and it's divine, and it's right. And He is calling you today. Rise up. Let Him take you above it this morning to rise up. You've got to take that place, brothers and sisters, where He says, you have been seated with Him in the heavens in Christ. You start rising up there, hallelujah. Getting that vision up on high. And you will come away. You'll come so far away. There'll be no looking back.
You'll say, thank you, Lord. You'll say, I praise you for everything that's happened. I glory in my infirmities also, Lord, because that's when the very power of Christ is resting upon my life. Do you got the power today? Do you really have the power today? I pray that you've been listening, but I also pray that you get that spirit so incensed in your life by the grace of God that there is nothing more urgent. There is nothing more vibrant. There's nothing more of a vision than that day when God joined you and said, I do. It's done. I'm with you. I'm so glad I did. I'm thankful, Jesus, that you allowed me to accept your hand. Brothers and sisters, it's coming, and it's coming soon. It's coming so soon. Rise up. Let's bow our head. Dear God, we thank you. Oh, yes. Jesus.
I love you, my children. I love you. Meet me in that closet. I want to propose to you.
Yeah.
I want to marry you. I love you.
Oh, God. Lord, thank you for dealing with us so sweetly this morning. Help us to be a people of praise and a people that would respond to this bridal call. Thank you again, Lord, for opening up your word. Oh, the endless treasures, the exceeding riches of your grace. Praise God that we're looking forward to stepping right into it with you. Because you are the exceeding riches of grace. We give it to you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.